Joining me now, Superintendent of Siuslaw Schools, Andy Grizz-Koyak, and it's good to see you. We got the screen up, so we're protecting each other here. But
yes,
I tell you what, we can't stop talking about this stinking COVID-19 thing.
No,
and how it's affected every part of life, and school is one of the biggest because, you know, we got our next generations coming up here, and we want to make sure that they stay educated or
exactly,
get educated.
Yes.
So tell me the latest. What's going on? I know you've been doing some in-class instruction with the small cohorts. How's that been going?
Actually, that's been going really well. We started back in December with some small groups, and that's been building out, and it's increasing as we get through January. And we keep getting more requests for inclusion in the group, because I think that was really, you know, people's concern in the beginning is how well you can do this and be safe. And since we haven't had cases of transmission on campus, people are more inclined to send their kids in for in-person instruction.
When you said there, you told me in an email yesterday, you said there was a lot of apprehension at first because
right.
There's a lot of unknowns
right.
When you do this. What are some of the things you've found out or discovered as you've started this that you might have improved upon or maybe that you knew you had right going into it?
Well, again, the basics are, you know, masks, hand sanitation, and keeping physical distance. Really, some of the challenges are more on the logistical end of coordinating transportation. Because we are a rural district.
A lot of buses
and a lot of distance. And so getting kids back and forth and having the bus cohort count as, in essence, one of the groups of kids could be in a week really limits their ability to be on campus. So if a kid can be in three groups in a week, and one of them is transportation, they're pretty well locked into being able to do only two things while they're on campus in a week.
Ah, yes, that's a little bit more difficult.
Right.
Now, how have the teachers been responding to this? I mean, I'm sure they love having the kids back in the classroom.
They do. And again, they had the same apprehensions, I think, in the beginning. But they've really been diving in, especially our fourth and fifth grade staff. That's been the big rollout. And then we're kind of pushing it from there up and down. We've seen growth in the program at the high school and the middle school, and it's coming down to the lower grades at the elementary.
Now, when you came in before we went on the air here, you said you can't wait for January 19th. You want to expound upon that?
Well, again, back in December, right before the holidays, the governor said that there was going to be a change in guidance, and all of those details will come out January 19th. And looking at how schools have been operating in other states and in other countries and the steps that we're doing that, you know, mitigate risk, you know, we're not seeing schools as, you know, sites of spread. We're probably going to get more flexibility to do more on-campus instruction. I know that the announcement in December was the health metrics are advisory, but all the other restrictions are still in place, and we have to see how that fits with really the health data that's going to come through in January.
But when we first started this whole thing out, it was all about how Siuslaw School District, regardless of what the rest of the world was doing, was regulated by the state and what's going on there. And now it's a little bit different now, right? You're getting a little bit more. Isn't it going by area more so than?
It is a little more by area. And so, again, we work with Lane County Public Health, and we look at what the numbers are locally, and we look at specifically how many you know, school-aged children have been exposed or have been infected. And we look at those on a weekly basis. And actually, most people have been very responsive, as I think my kid may have been exposed, so they're not sending them in.
Mm-hmm.
And Lane County Public Health has been really good at clarifying, you know, when somebody should and should not be on campus.
And again, you know, we've seen in the last couple of weeks, we've seen 39 cases in the last 2 weeks here in Florence. That doesn't necessarily mean they're school-aged kids or kids
Correct.
That are involved in the cohort program at the school. I asked Chris Johnson when I talked to him, and he doesn't give me a whole lot of information.
Yes.
I love Chris. But tell me, what about the sports aspect of it? Because everybody wants to know about that. I mean, they really do.
Well, you know, we had a quick meeting yesterday to kind of preview some of the like big threads, and you'll see athletics for K-12 be aligned with really the markers for athletic participation at the county level. Mm-hmm. So that'll really standardize what's been going on, because there's been a little bit of confusion about, are we following the K-12 rules, the OSAA rules, or the county rules? That's going to be one unit all the way across.
So they're going to come together and say, this is, we both agree on this.
Right.
We're going to do it this way.
Yeah. And that's how we'll go forward from there. And that'll be nice. And so I think right now, again, with the way the case numbers are, we're still going to continue with the shortened seasons, with the winter seasons actually being at the end of the year, because that would be after the time that most people would have the opportunity to be vaccinated, or there's the greatest chance that there's, you know, a tail down of the virus.
And there's a more closer contact. Basketball is too, but football, you know, you have that close contact sport there. So the more people that are vaccinated,
right,
the better.
And again, I think part of the bigger concern with basketball and wrestling is that it's an indoor activity. You know, again, you have football, which is a contact activity, but it's outdoors. And that's, you know, you get a lot of air circulation. It's hard to do that in the gym.
Yeah, it is. Is there any talk, is Lane County or the ODE or anybody talking about what may have been learned from, say, college and professional sports over the last few months and how they've dealt with it? I mean, I know it's a little bit different because, you know, it's, even though there's been some spreads in certain professional activities, it's a little bit more, it's a little bit easier to convince them to not to social distance when they're getting paid $1 million a year versus, you know, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old student who wants to see his friends. So are
right.
we learning anything from the professional or college aspect that we can turn over into high school sports?
I think more of that is about event and game management and how you keep, you know, fans and the event safe. Again, the operational piece with kids on courts and on fields, I mean, that's always going to be a challenge.
Well, because I know, like with the NFL, you know, it wasn't until I think week 15 or 14 when they said everybody on the sidelines, if they don't have a helmet on, should wear a mask.
Right.
I mean, they waited that many weeks in order to come out with that. And I'm assuming that in high school, it's going to be, you're wearing masks just like if
right.
you were doing
and
anything.
Again, we are. And that's, again, even with voluntary practices, that's what we're doing now. And that's part of the standardization of, again, K-12 PE classes, after school athletics, you know, county participation in outdoor activities or recreational athletics, all going to follow the same guidelines. So there's no question about what's happening.
I know the answer to this.
Are
already.
You asking me to warm up my crystal ball?
Well, yeah, I think I know the answer is any chance that school will be back in regular session before the end of the year?
I don't think in regular session with everybody on campus every day. Right now, again, physical distancing and masks are the greatest prevention. And even as people get vaccinated, that still needs to be done until everybody's been vaccinated. And so we simply don't have the physical space in every classroom to have every kid there every single day.
Let me ask you this, because I just talked with Jason Davis regarding this, and I don't know that he spoke out of turn or not, but he said that, you know, health officials wanted more than a 6-foot rule, because this virus stays in the air much longer than, say, the flu virus does, and it's much more impactful on people. Does that kind of information concern you at all? Whereas they wanted 12 feet, you know, is what, when they were all discussing how many feet is safe distance. Does this,
you know, we've heard different numbers bandied about what the safe distance, but right now schools have two parameters they're working with. It's 6 feet and 35 square feet per person. So it's that square footage issue, not necessarily the linear distance. That's our problem.
Mm-hmm. And masking.
Masking, you know, again. But again, if you're at distance and you have the 6-foot mat and you have the mask on, the square footage tends to be less of an issue. And so with how we've had to calculate square footage, you get, in essence, you know, your furniture counts against you, mm-hmm. and all those things. And again, if you just looked at 35 square foot per room, there's plenty of rooms that you could get 20 or 25 people in. But when you start counting furnitures and all these other pieces, all of a sudden you're down to like 12 or 13.
Mm.
And then you're talking about having to run a hybrid rotation with half of your kids, you know, 2 days a week.
Well, you know, you could mix yoga and instruction at the same time, move all the furniture out and just do it.
Well, yeah. Well, if we're moving stuff around, that's fine. That's part of it. But we don't know where to stick half the desks in every single building.
Right, yeah. All right. So anything else you want to tell me? We were kind of limited on time today, but if you just anything else that we should know about what's coming up?
Again, I think if people are interested in getting their kids started in that transition back to being in on campus.
And what parent isn't?
And what parent isn't, right, is, again, you know, contact your building principal, get on the list for in-person instruction. Again, and working through the transportation rotation takes us a little over a week to change those routes and stuff. And then we'll get to a critical tipping point where we'll have to kind of remodel what we're doing. We know where we're going. In essence, you know, we're going to have to kind of do this by zone and basically kind of go, you know, the north half of the district and the south half of the district on any given day. That allows us to put double the number of buses in each zone all the time. So it doubles our capacity to bring kids in. And we can, in essence, bring in half of the district in a whole day and cut down the bus time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Cut down a little the finance, too, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Just a little bit. Andy, thank you so much for coming in.
No, I appreciate it.
And it's always good to have updated information from you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we speak with Michael Falter to see how things are going over at City Lights Cinemas during the COVID-19 pandemic.